All right, you saw those students cheering on their buddies earlier that got baptized, and maybe you looked when they got up and they walked out. They're all different, right? All of those kids are different. If you think back to your time in school, that's just how it goes, right? There are so many different kinds of kids there in school. You've got the musical crowd, the band and the orchestra, the choir. You've got the athlete crowd. You've got the mathlete crowd. You've got the chess team, the robotics team these days. Those kids are fascinating what they can build and do. You've got the bass fishing team, which my kid is hoping he can get on when he gets there into high school. There's so many different kinds, and I'm sure it's still this way today, but when I was a kid, there was also maybe another category of student there, and we called them, not always super affectionately, we called them the teacher's pets. You know those kind of students? The ones that seem to be favored by the teachers, the ones that the teachers, if they were like honest, they're the ones that the teachers really like the most. Why do you think a student would be called a teacher's pet? Pretty simple. It's because they're the ones that actually do what the teachers tell them to do. They're the ones that obey. They listen. They get their work done well. They get their work turned in on time. They don't talk when they're not supposed to talk. Basically, like, they're the model student. They do what they're supposed to do. If you think back to your time in school, you could probably name several of them. Like, do they stick with you? You remember them? I could name several right now. I won't, because you might know some of them. There was one sitting right there in the first service from her time in school, and I know that because I'm married to her, right? That there are different... There are different kinds of kids. Some are the teacher's pets, and I was frustrated by that as a student myself, but I've matured a little bit since then, and I view it differently now, right? Those kind of students, they just did things the right way. They did what they were supposed to, and unfairly and unfortunately, sometimes they were made fun of for it. They should have been the example for us to follow. But oftentimes we see people doing the right thing face mocking and ridicule from the crowds around them. And we see the same reality with believers that seek to live a godly life according to the Word of God. People that take their love relationship with Jesus seriously, that open up God's Word, see how they're called to live, and then ultimately live it out, are often made fun of by the culture or mocked by the culture around us. Just think about movies and TV shows. How are Christians portrayed in those? Oftentimes they're the brunt of the jokes. And here's the really sad and scary reality about that. It's not just the culture that treats Christians striving towards godliness like this. Oftentimes there's Christians that make fun of other Christians who are serious about living a godly life. They might look at these Christians striving towards godliness and say, you just need to relax a little bit, or this isn't that big a deal, or that's not that big a deal, or you're going over the top with this, or you need to relax, or the worst. Sometimes they'll call Christians striving towards godliness legalistic. And I just want to remind you this morning, a heart that desires to know and follow Jesus and live His way, it's not legalistic, it's obedient. And at the end of the day, it's a picture of a godly life. As we continue our series this morning, Stronger, we're taking a look at that characteristic of godliness. Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3 and read through verse 7. God's Word says this: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may have become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort. If you've been in here this summer and you haven't underlined or circled that phrase yet, do it now. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with godliness. We're camping out there today. And godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Here's the reminder. Our context on these verses for the summer or to catch you up if you're new with us this week. Our focus has been right here, verses 5 through 7, every Sunday of the summer. And we're taking one of these godly characteristics and we're focusing on them each Sunday morning. And our goal is not to end the summer with a list of definitions of new words that we've learned. No, our goal is to understand them so that we can grow stronger in them. And verse 5 gives us the focus for the summer. Make every effort. Right, we want to grow stronger in our faith and our love relationship with Christ. And we see here that a big way to do that is to grow in these areas that Peter lines out. The command is simple. It might not always be easy, but the command is simple. Put effort into living a godly life. We have a responsibility to do what it takes to grow stronger spiritually. And here's the weekly reminder so that we don't think that this is all in our own power. All of this flows from a relationship with Jesus. Look back at verse 3. It's His divine power that's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It flows from knowing Him and knowing His promises. Only possible through the grace of God in our life. And because God has freely given us grace and brought us into a relationship with Him, what do? We strive to grow stronger in that relationship with Him. Spiritual growth, it's not going to happen by accident. It's not just going to happen because we're here, right? Remember when Pastor Jarrett was here a few weeks ago? He actually texted me the morning that he was going to be preaching here at our North Klein campus, and he said, "Hey, I don't have any weights at my house. Can you bring me some weights that I can use for an illustration?" And I went to the garage and I got some weights that my 11-year-old uses. And then when I saw Pastor Jarrett struggling with them up here on stage, I had to give him a hard time about it. But he made a great point with them. He said, you can buy a set of weights. You can set them up in your garage. You can keep them clean. You can drive them around in your car. You can stare at them all you want. But until you start lifting the weights or doing the work, you're not going to get stronger. And that reality in the physical realm transfers to the spiritual realm as well. It takes effort to grow stronger spiritually, to do what we see in verses 5 through 7, to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and brotherly affection and godliness, which I said we're studying today. Our goal is to understand what God's word says about godliness so that we can make every effort to grow stronger in it. If you're taking notes this morning, our title is simple. It's just Stronger in Godliness. And as we dive in, I want to do three things. I want to define it so that we're all on the same page with what we're supposed to grow stronger in, right? We're going to define godliness. Once we've got our definition, we're just going to give practical ways that we can develop this pattern of godliness in our lives. And then we're going to end with a few very practical applications of how godliness works itself out in two of the major areas of life. First, the definition, right? Godliness defined. When you look it up, in Scripture, the word's actually not as common as you might think. It's only used around 15 times in the New Testament. Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words defines it like this. Godliness is to be devout. It denotes that piety, which characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is pleasing to Him. To put it in simple terms, a definition I think we can hold on to a little bit better, here it is. Godliness is just devotion in action. That's godliness, right? Godliness is thinking and living in a way that is pleasing ultimately to our Heavenly Father, to God. Well, how do we know? Right, how do we know what's pleasing to God? The good news for me and you is we don't have to guess, right? He's laid it out right here in His Word. Romans 12:1 tells us that as our minds are transformed by the goodness of God, we can see and know what God's will is, meaning what we can know how He's called us to live. And in addition to that, if you've trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what? You've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. And Jesus called Him a counselor for us, a guide for us that will lead us into righteousness. He's telling us where to go, what to do, and how to live a godly life before the Lord. More on that in just a minute. We've defined godliness. The question this morning for us is, does it define you? We know what godliness is. Does it define how we live? Because it should, right? As Peter writes, this is something that we add to our faith, and it should be ever increasing. But how? How does this godliness increase in our hearts and in our lives? We're told here to strive or make every effort to grow in it. and 1 Timothy chapter 4, we are told to train ourselves for godliness. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, have nothing to do with irreverent or silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. That word train, verse 7, train yourself for godliness, that's where we get the English word gym from, right? So we're seeing to be godly, we've got to get in the gym and work it out, right? Sweat this thing out. Being godly in our lives, which we are called to do, it is going to take some work on our part. Kent Hughes wrote a book, The Disciplines of a Godly Man, and he wrote, no discipline, no discipleship, no sweat, no sainthood, right? So I just want to get practical here and see how we can develop godliness in our lives. How do we train ourselves for godliness? And I'm going to give you just some practical action steps that we can work out using that word right there, train. The T in train, we're going to say it stands for time. Godliness, it's not going to happen overnight. Big oak tree when you pull into the campus right out in front, that took time. It started as an acorn, and over the years, through time, it grew stronger and stronger. It's the same as we seek to grow in godliness. It takes time with God consistently. It takes time in the Word of God consistently, not just in here on Sunday mornings. This past week, I think I mentioned it earlier, for the first half of the week, I was the cabin leader for fifth grade boys at our kids' camp. Now, I've done this several times, and it's always a highlight of the summer for me. And let me just say that if you're a dad in the room and you have kids next summer, they're going to be between second grade and fifth grade. You're getting a call from me, and you're going to go with me to camp next summer. We need more dads there to invest in these kids. It's a rewarding experience. It's an encouraging experience as you see God working in the hearts of our kids. It is worth dealing with the smell of the room to see God work like this. I had to remind my kids every morning and every night, guys, brush your teeth, take a shower, put on deodorant. And one of my fifth graders, he's 11 years old, he came up to me and he said, my mom says I don't need deodorant yet. And I was like, you stink, right? I'm just telling you right now. I didn't say this out loud. I would never undermine a parent in front of the kid. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I need to talk to that mom because this kid is ready for deodorant. He's there. I'm just telling you, it's worth it. It's worth the smells to go to those camps and see God working in the hearts and minds of our kids. Our last night, sitting around with 10, with 11, I didn't lose any, with 11 of those fifth graders, and we're talking about spiritual growth, right? They've heard all week, right, about a relationship with Christ, about growth, and we're just practical action steps for a fifth grader. What does that look like? It's like, hey, here's a devotional you guys are going home with. If you guys knock this out, I'll have a pizza party for all you guys at the end of the summer. Like just practical steps to grow. And as we talked about that, some of them begin to talk about their parents. I thought this was really interesting. Several of them were talking with great admiration, I might add, about their parents' relationship with Jesus. Here's what that means. Your kids see you walking with the Lord. Your kids are encouraged by your walk with the Lord. And as they talked about their parents and what God had done in their parents' heart and just the way their parents knew Jesus, they were talking about it in the language that fifth graders would use. Here's what I got to remind them. Guys, your parents did not get to be like that overnight. It took time. It took intentionality. And you guys, by the way, you're not going to be like that when you're your parents' age unless you consistently spend time walking with the Lord, time with God, time with the people of God, time in the Word of God, to remove the old ways of thinking from our hearts so that we can be rewired by God. It takes time, Romans 12, and the retraining of our mind, time to reshape our affections and our passions. It takes time to strengthen our resolve so we can say no to the lustful, fleshly things of this world and yes to the work of God in our hearts and in our lives. I want to encourage you, right? If you want to grow in godliness like we're called to do, spend time with our Heavenly Father, right? Godliness flows from a relationship with Him, not just a list of rules. I'm not sure who said it first. I'd give him credit if I knew, but rules without a relationship, it results and rebellion. Well, we can't do what God's called us to do apart from a loving, growing relationship with Him. And just like any relationship, it takes time. Wake up and read the Word of God. Get a notebook, write down what you're learning, write down your prayers so that you can stay locked in and focused. Mark tells us in Mark 1:35 that Jesus often got up by himself early in the morning. He removed himself from distractions. He got alone to spend time in prayer with his Heavenly Father. If Jesus needed to get alone to start his day with our Heavenly Father, how much more do me and you need to get alone with the Lord at the beginning of our day? Spend time. Training yourself for godliness is going to take time. Athletes train for their events. Musicians train for their concerts. They might have a natural gifting, but they don't get where they need to be without time. Psalm 1, the psalmist tells us that we're to meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. That psalmist was a work in progress, and he knew it. Me and you are too. All right, if we want to grow in godliness, it's going to take time. The R in train, responsibility. Very simply put, no one else can make you godly. Your spouse cannot make you godly. Your parents cannot make you godly. Your friends cannot force you to live a godly life with a godly heart. As a believer in Jesus, go back to verse 3. It's right there. Again, this flows from Him. He has given us everything that we need, all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given it to us. It's our responsibility to take what He gives and to put it to work in our lives. That's why we call it a personal relationship with the Lord. Nobody can do this for you. We're responsible to put into action what God has given us. If you don't know how to open your Bible and read it in the mornings, ask someone. If you don't know how to lead your family to love and to follow after Jesus, ask someone that's doing it, right? That's why the church family is gathered like this. When you look in the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, and you see the early church as it forms, and as these people are figuring out what it looks like to walk with Jesus, nobody is doing it by themselves. They're all gathered together, like those students we saw earlier, loving and encouraging one another to live how God has called us to live. Take responsibility, ask for help if you need it, and get after it. That leads to the A, and the A in train is action. Remember our definition. Godliness is what? Devotion in action, right? Godliness can only be ascribed at the end of the day to someone who is godly in their actions and how they live. Now, perfection is not possible, and perfection is not our goal. Right, if we get caught up in perfection, thinking we want to be perfect for the next 50 years that God gives us on this earth, I'm telling you now, you're going to be tired and you're going to be very, very disappointed and frustrated. Instead, think about action like this. My devotion in action, it just means doing the next godly thing. The next decision we have to make, we're going to make the godly one that goes along with the Word of God. The next conversation we have, our words are going to be godly, seasoned with grace and love, like God's Word calls us to do. The next choice, it's devotion and action. If you get disappointing news this afternoon, don't respond with anger and respond with devotion and action. Right, if you're leaving the parking lot this afternoon and Luis Miori cuts you off, don't yell at him. Respond with devotion and action. If your spouse and you, it's going to happen. If you're going to fight, if your feelings are hurt, respond with devotion and action. Live out Ephesians 5 with one another. Just evaluate your life. Is it a picture of devotion in action? Do your actions right now outwardly show an inward devotion to Jesus? Because that's godliness. So many verses we could talk about on this, but think about James 2:17. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us love, not in word or talk, but in deed. That's action. And in truth, right? Godliness is only godliness if it's expressed in our lives in action. If you were to think about people in your life, we're talking about godliness. Maybe the Lord's put on your heart and mind people that have been godly examples for you over the years. Or if you're making that list in your mind, just sort of mentally right now, thinking through who those godly mentors, those godly examples are, I'd imagine that all of those people you're thinking about had an intimate walk with Jesus that overflowed into their lives with their actions, that overflowed into how they treated others, how they talked to others. Godliness, it's this embodied righteousness. It's living out in action what we say we believe in our hearts. Action. And that action is only going to happen if we're intentional. That's the I in our little acrostic here. That the I stands for intentionality. You've heard this before. If you aim for nothing, you're going to hit it every time. Spiritual growth. Adding to your faith godliness. It's going to involve you being intentional with how you spend your time. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, "Don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run your race so that you may obtain the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, but they do it to receive a perishable wreath. Believers, we do it to receive an imperishable wreath. So I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one that's beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Here's what Paul's saying to the church in Corinth. He's saying, don't live a haphazard, spiritually apathetic, spiritually unintentional life. He's saying, get intentional about growing in godliness. I'm telling you, as a culture today, we do intentional very, very well on some things. Right, we're intentional with our work. Maybe we're intentional in our homes. We're intentional with our dress. I've seen your pictures. A lot of you went on vacations this summer to different places. You were intentional with your vacations. You researched, you planned, you prepared where you were going to stay, what you were going to do, the different things that you were going to book. Why? Because you didn't want to waste the time that you had. You were intentional with it. And if we're intentional with how we spend our vacation time, how much more intentional should we be about living a godly life before our Heavenly Father? Be intentional. Be intentional about your spiritual disciplines. Prayer and Bible reading. Set an alarm. Take responsibility. Take action. Be intentional. Get up and read your Bible. If you're not sure what to read right now, if you haven't started, if you don't have a program to read, here's a great plan for you to read. Download the YouVersion Bible app. Click the little button at the bottom that says Bible Plans. That's the one, right? If you're not sure where to go or where to start, you can read this for a while. It's called the Essential 100. I've taken several groups of people through it. I absolutely love it. It's going to give you a very good grasp and understanding of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the things that you might not understand, it'll explain it for you as you go. Phenomenal Bible reading plan. Get in the Word. Be intentional about your spiritual disciplines. Be intentional about what influences you. You read a lot. You watch a lot. What are you reading this summer that's intentionally growing your relationship with God? Here's a great book on the topic of godliness that we're talking about this morning. It's by Kevin DeYoung. It's called The Hole in Our Holiness. I used to make every intern that worked for us at Champion Forest read through this book as they started off their summer. It's a phenomenal read. It's a short read. It's an entertaining read. It's a challenging and convicting read about growing in godliness. Be intentional to read stuff like this to help you grow in your relationship. Be intentional about who it is that's influencing you. You've heard the quote, right? You end up becoming the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. Are you spending time with godly people? Are you letting godly influences into your life know you, really, really know you, so they can speak into your life and help you be shaped to live godly before our Heavenly Father? And then finally, be intentional in your service, right? Well, when you serve like Jesus, you grow in godliness. Last Sunday morning, I was preaching at our Champions campus, and in between the two services, I walked around a little bit, and I ran into one of my favorite people in the entire world, the one and only Miss Nancy LeBeau. A lot of you guys know her and love her. Let me tell you where I didn't find Nancy. I didn't find her in a senior adult life group class. I found her in the student building, teaching a group of seniors like she's done for like the last 60 years of her life. She had a calling on her life from God. She knew that God had gifted her in a specific way, and she was intentional to serve Him. And through that service, I'm telling you, God grew her in godliness. Maybe you're not going to teach seniors. Maybe you're going to serve in the kids' world. Maybe God's going to use you to serve in a different way. But I'm telling you, when you serve, and you're like Jesus, and He's growing you in godliness, be intentional about how you're going to grow. I'm telling you, it's not just going to happen. And as we talk about what we're going to do, like to be intentional, like spiritual disciplines and to grow in godliness, we've got to be intentional also about what we are no longer going to do as well. There's some things that have just got to go from our life. Listen to what Titus says in chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us, there's that word again, but training us on the flip side this time, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So be intentional about what you do, what you give your life and your time to, and be intentional about what you don't do. Be intentional about who you're not influenced by. Be intentional about what you don't listen to, about what you don't read, about what you don't watch. As a follower of Jesus, do not willfully do what you know is not pleasing to the Lord and then shrug it off like it's no big deal. Train yourself to renounce the ungodly things of this world. And that leads us to the final letter in our train right here. The N, we're just going to say it stands for non-negotiables. If you want to be godly, we've seen it involves saying yes to what's godly and no to what's ungodly. And if you live this life, you're going to look different everywhere you go. You're going to be different. You're going to stand out in our world. You're going to stand out in this culture, and that is okay. You might be called the teacher's pet. You might be called the goody-goody. Somebody might say, oh, they're acting so holier than thou. People are going to have names, and that's okay. Let them have names. We're not living to please other people. We're living with a heart's desire to please our God, which means as a believer, there's going to be those non-negotiables. If you're married as a follower of Christ, you've got non-negotiables in your marriage. They're in Ephesians 5 and a lot of other places as well. Faithfulness, love, sacrifice, service, those are non-negotiables in a Christian marriage. If you're a Christian parent, same thing. There's going to be non-negotiables in your life. Deuteronomy 6 and then Ephesians 5 and 6 sort of sandwich the entirety of the Bible with the parents' responsibility, their non-negotiable responsibility to teach their kids to know and love Jesus. Non-negotiables for every Christian that wakes up in the morning with life and breath from God. Remember our Ephesians series? Right, the entire second half of the book of Ephesians, it's the non-negotiables for our life. We're called to be loving and forgiving and generous. We're called to put away anger and slander and gossip. We're called to be kind. We're called to flee from sexual immorality. We're called to be truthful with our words and not to lie. What about our Daniel series last year? Remember Daniel, right? That teenage follower of Jesus that was kidnapped and exiled to Babylon? Well, as he gets into Babylon, what does he do? Daniel 1:8, he resolved not to defile himself, to do anything that would go against the word of God. He decided before he faced the decision that he was going to live a godly life before the Lord. In the same way, we've got to have those non-negotiables. One more is this, a non-negotiable is spending time with Jesus, growing that relationship with him. A non-negotiable for believers, Hebrews 10, these students were a great example. A non-negotiable is being connected to a church family, being stirred up and stirring others up to love and good deeds. It's not going to be easy all the time, but it's always going to be worth it. Right? Well, we've got our definition of godliness, devotion and action. We see how to develop godliness. And let me just close briefly with some application and two places we can live this out every single day, right? Number one, we've got to start by demonstrating godliness in our home, right? This is for all of us. This is for kids. This is for parents. This is for everybody in the home. But let me just give a quick word to moms and dads. Parents, the goal of raising your kids is not to give them everything that you didn't have when you were growing up. That the goal is to give your kids Jesus. That the goal is for your kids to look at you one day and say, I know what it means to live a godly life because I saw my mom or my dad or my grandparent or my aunt or my, I saw whoever was raising me, I saw them live a godly life. I saw them reading their Bible. I saw them loving well. I saw them giving well sacrificially to others that found themselves in need. I saw them giving of their time to love and serve our neighbors and our community like God has called them to do. Listen, godliness is not on display in a spotlight where you've got this opportunity to make a grand gesture of godliness before a lot of people. That's not it. Godliness shines bright in the routine and unspectacular moments of our lives. day in, day out, devotion in action, even in the smallest moments of our daily routine. We want those that live in our home to say, hey, my mom and dad, my parents, they lived out devotion in action. And if you're saying, man, that sounds great, but that's not me, start today. It's never too late to start, right? That this is a process where we grow in godliness. Make sure you're demonstrating godliness in the home first. And the second area, this has got to be lived out, is at school and work. Right, we've got to demonstrate godliness where God has us, out of the home as well. That's where you're going to interact with the most people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. Right? Are you demonstrating godliness in your workplace? If you're still in school, are you demonstrating godliness there? Just like at home, right? Godliness is going to shine bright in the routine and unspectacular moments of your day. As your coworkers watch your work ethic, as they hear you talk around the water cooler, as they look at your expense report, as they observe you in moments of high tension or relational stress in the office, as they see you make the tough decisions, do they know? Would they have any perception that you are different from someone that doesn't know Jesus? In other words, do your actions at work demonstrate devotion in action? Godliness isn't meant to just stay here at church when we gather together. It influences every area of our lives, and it should be observable in our actions, our character at work, school, and at home. Godliness, devotion in action, living and thinking in a way that is pleasing to God. Let's get stronger in it. Two reminders. Don't shoot for perfection. It's the next godly decision. And reminder number two, and I think we need this, just this reminder that you're not going to be perfect, right? You're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're going to find yourself in sin from time to time. And when you do, you've got to remember, you're not working to earn God's love. You're not working to earn a spot before God, right? If you've trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior, you're His child. He loves you with an unconditional love. And in Romans 8, the Bible is very clear that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, not even our own mistakes. Back to verse 3. All of this is possible because of Jesus, His power at work in us. So if you've been striving to live like this, to follow what God's word has called us to do, and you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior, let me just tell you, you're probably very tired and very frustrated. If you find yourself there this morning, I want to encourage you to trust Jesus as your Savior. That's how this chapter starts. All of this is possible through the knowledge of Jesus, the relational knowledge of Jesus and His promises. Right? Trust Jesus this morning, and wherever you're at, make every effort to grow in godliness. Would you pray with me this morning? If you just bow your heads, this is applicable for every single one of us. If we've been walking with Jesus, growing in godliness for 50 years, or you trusted Christ at camp this past week, wherever you're at on this, you can pray this prayer. God, help me to train myself in godliness. Father, help me to grow closer and deeper in my love relationship with You. God, help me to express my devotion to You in action. And God, help me to love with a peace and a joy that only comes from walking in a godly life before You. We can all pray that prayer. Help me to grow in godliness. And if you're here this morning and you'd say, you know what, I'm tired. I've been doing this on my own. I've been doing this my way. I've never trusted in Christ before. And don't leave here today without taking that step of obedience, that step into a relationship with Christ. We want to pray with you about that in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing a closing song. Our pastors are going to be down here at the front. We'd be honored to pray with you if you're ready to trust Christ. Honored to pray with you if you know baptism's your next step and those students inspired you and stirred you up to take that step. We want to pray with you about it. If you're here this morning and you'd say, you know what, I just need somebody to come alongside me, to pray over me, with me, to help me be intentional to grow in godliness, we want to pray with you over that. Or if you're here and you're struggling right now, and I know that many are, maybe there's a diagnosis that's come through, maybe there's a financial reality that you're up against, maybe there's a relational fracture in your life, whatever it is. If you're here and you want someone to pray with you, when we stand to sing, that's your invitation. Our pastors will be here, and we would love to pray with you, be honored to, about any of those things. Heavenly Father, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your love for us. And God, I pray that you would work in our hearts. We thank you for giving us all that we need. God, I pray that we'd work it out, that we'd live a godly life before you through your power, Lord, by your grace and not our own. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.